When it comes to electric mobility, India skipped an entire generation of learning. For example, that weird phase of hybrid EVs.
Yeah, what the hell was that? And they're still doing it. Two different technologies on one set of wheels. What a waste. No wonder it didn't catch on.
Well, India moved from ICE to EVs late in the game and so benefited from a lot of learnings that the mature automotive industry economies went through during the entire previous decade. Unfair to the advanced economies, I know, but too bad. As Shashi Tharoor so often says, payback for the years of rape and pillage during the colonial period. But seriously, globally besides Tesla, it took the automotive industry 10 years to get its head around electric mobility. To get its head around the simplicity of EV drivetrains, the complexity of battery packs, and the myriad of differences between ICE vehicles and EVs. Because ICE was central to the comfort zone of the industry globally. India was no different. Yet what is interesting is that having skipped an entire generation of learning, the Indian automotive industry is now almost at par in knowledge and capability as its global counterpart.
The industry in India is so nascent that early adopters have had to form communities to support each other through the challenges that no one thought about, not the OEM, nor the user. Almost like every generation of humans right from our times as cave dwellers, early EV adopters had to go back to the sharan of community, sharanagat. That's the spirit of protection that one offers another fellow traveler on the road less traveled.
So, we decided to explore what these early adopting EV communities were all about and the spirit of that wonderful shlok you're hearing, Sharanam Gachami, that they offer each other. Recently, the Tata Nexon Group was invited by none other than Tata Motors to visit Pune for the opportunity to meet the makers of their Nexon cars. Our Energizing India Artemis studio happens to be a stone's throw away from the Tata Motors factory, and our podcast director decided to invite the Nexon user group to come chat with us and tell us what's the go. So, Onkar, that must have been a fun day, hey? Actual users discussing their experience. What was your biggest takeaway?
What's really interesting, Ravin, there's an actual preference to buy Indian. Since 1947 and more pronounced post-liberalization, everyone considered anything foreign better. But that's changed now. And not because of reasons that are chauvinistic or nationalistic, but as you just said, because of us skipping an entire generation of learnings. The quality of Indian cars now is exceptional, and you're not paying stupid premium prices for something so nice. But the crazy thing is that it happened while all of us were sleeping. You just have to get in one of the latest Tata or Mahindra vehicles or even a Switch Mobility bus and the first experience you get is, wow, is this really Indian? All of us were really sleeping. So we had to do something about this. I decided to invite the Nexon users group when they were visiting Pune and we had three super users at Artemis to have a little fun chat about this.
Hi, I'm Rakesh and I've been driving EVs for more than 6 years now.
Wow.
So I used to drive E2O Plus for 4 years. Maybe I would have ran it for more than 1,25,000 kilometers. Then as soon as MG and Tata Nexon got launched, I booked them both of them and ultimately went for Tata Nexon. And I've run my Nexon for almost 60,000 kilometers already. Lot of bitter experiences, very good experiences, and the journey was exciting actually.
Great. So we'll cover both the bitter and the good experiences in the later half. So,
hi, I'm Vivek Ahuja. I'm from Delhi. I own a Nexon for the last 2 years. And like Rakesh, I've driven E2O and Reva. And I'm also co-founder and admin of the Pan India EV community groups along with Ashish.
Hi, thanks a lot for all the introduction you have given so far. But yes, like we said, we are the early adopters. But I think there are a lot many adopters who came before us, who were driving the Revas and the E2Os. They deserve a much better, applause for the same. Okay, a practical car, Nexon EV, Yes, I drive it, and I've been driving it almost like 2 years now. But the first car I drove was a Jaguar I-Pace. That was in Canada. That was during 2019. And when I felt, you know, a country where the AQI levels are not that bad, they are considering EVs and there's a subsidy going on, why not in India? As soon as I came back, there was a car which was launched and I knew about it. It was a Nexon EV. And as soon as the lockdown ended in July somewhere in Delhi, and I went in for the car in the month of August.
So Onkar, these guys are an interesting bunch and seem to really love their Nexons. It strikes me that they are like a Harley group almost, or a Bullet motorcycle group, who are passionate about the wheels that they are on and would never consider any other options. Is that the case here?
Well, actually, no. The reasons that they love their Nexons are many. And we probed that. So guys, why the Nexon?
So one reason, value for money and made in India. Mm-hmm. So that's the topmost reason to go for Nexon EV.
For me, I had booked both the MG and the Nexon, mm-hmm. because both were launched around a month apart. Mm-hmm. And because of the lockdown, I got a good 6 months to evaluate, compare. And I felt the Nexon has some advantages which the MG does not. Mm-hmm. And for me, because sometimes I sit in the back, sometimes I sit in the front. So the Nexon seemed much better in terms of leg support of front and back seats, armrest, air conditioning, vents in the back, and it's more practical.
So for me, it was a very, you know, decision which was taken just for the sake of it. I usually change my cars in 3 years. So this was the car, it was the size of the car which I have been driving so far, though I've driven a Safari as well. But I was comfortable with the car. And like I said earlier, I was not looking at any other option when there was a car which was from Tata, who does 80 to 90% of his profit sharing, you know, in charities. So that cause, and my father, my mother, they both were retired government servants. And I think I owe this much to the country. If somebody is doing that much, why not support him? And it is something, you know, which was built for the masses. Mm-hmm. So unless or until somebody starts with it, nobody is going to follow.
You see, there it is again. Made in India. I'm telling you, we were sleeping.
So Onkar, you made a great reference to the fact that the EV industry is so nascent, and as a result, there are so many unknowns. That both the OEM and the user groups are actually in a community together providing support, or sharan, as they go through the adventures of learning.
Yeah, isn't that unique? That never happened during the ICE era.
Oh, you mean the Ice Age.
That's so corny, even for Richard Quest from CNN. But the communities are real. There's a Nexon community, there's a Kona community, there's a MG community. Much like a club, these communities have their own subculture and their own hot topics. But the support they provide each other is real.
What do you mean by that?
Here, have a listen.
Rakesh and me were part of another group earlier, before we even had Nexons or thought about Nexons, which was basically a EV pioneers group, mostly of Mahindra E2O and Reva owners.
Oh, wow.
So we had seen from that the community needs to help each other a lot, mm-hmm. because the OEM will sell you the car, they'll say, okay, this has a good support package, you'll get a good RSA, but things don't work out. So the community needs to bond together, because this is not like a ICE community or let's say a Samsung owners community. It's very unique niche.
Yeah.
And people who may be using it, may be technical, may have more experience, when they share their knowledge, it helps so many other people. But how the group started to grow, and we keep on growing. And when you mention the groups are not only Nexon mm-hmm. owner groups that we run, they're all for all EVs. Mm-hmm. Could be MG, could be BYD, could be anybody.
Yeah.
And it's not just the cars. We have all the ecosystem, you know, within the groups. We have all the, you know, CPOs. We try to take care of whosoever is a part of the ecosystem, is a part of that group. So the user experience could be shared with them directly. The feedback could be given. And not only the, you know, the users, we also have people like, you know, Anmol Jaggi, Mr. Anmol Jaggi, who's the owner of BlueSmart. So because they are also running all of their fleet over the, you know, battery cars, the electric cars. So yes, we like to support them. We like to give feedback. We like to take feedback.
So Onkar, the thing that one hears the most is that EVs are far more expensive than their ICE counterparts. So in the EV industry, what you always hear is actually total cost of ownership rather than the cost of acquisition. That's what all the OEMs always talk about, because cost of acquisition always is more expensive. So did you get to discuss with the Nexon group whether they have been able to bust the myth that EVs are in fact more expensive?
They literally broke it down for us, demonstrating why driving their Nexon EVs was much cheaper than their previous ICE vehicles.
When you say the cars for the masses, it's like I mentioned earlier also, it's up to us to learn how we save money. So I was using a ICE vehicle earlier, which was the same segment, same size, okay, it was a automatic as well, and I got it for 14 odd lakhs on road. This car I purchased, being the top model, which where I don't get any subsidy, I spent almost 17 and a half lakh rupees. But what I used to spend on fuel on that car was about 2.5 lakh rupees per year. Now I am only spending about, although I'm driving more, and I am only paying about 8,000 rupees a year. So I am saving 2,40,000 rupees approximately a year, which is kind of a subsidy coming to me every time. So what we call in the group is that whatever down payment you have, give it to the, you know, bank or the, you know, the dealer. And uske baad mein jo aapka petrol expense tha, that becomes, that takes care of your EMI. The car is free. You upgrade. Now, when you say the 10 lakh or the below 10 lakh car for the masses, what is going to happen is the battery size is going to go down. Yeah. People are going to say the car is small, the car is impractical. There are a few cars which came and there are a few cars which are coming. They might work, they might not work, because people would say it does not look like a, you know, practical car. Okay. Yeah. It does not look like I might become a laughing stock. Mm-hmm. Who would buy it? It is a total risk. Yeah. So this is a practical car with a minimum 30 kilowatt hour battery, or the Tigor, which has a 26 kilowatt hour battery. But because of the weight management, it has low weight than Nexon EV, and it has a good range, almost similar to Nexon EV.
And if you look at the Nexon, it seems to be 15 lakhs, let's say, on an average price. Just remove the cost of the battery, it's a sub 10 lakh car.
Yes.
And if the government, which has already said that you have should have battery leasing options or battery swapping option. So if you take the battery as a lease, which was in E2 and Reva,
it's still a
sub 10 lakh car. And you keep paying something which would be equal to your petrol. For example, I used to pay 25,000 rupees a month for petrol. Now I pay 1600 or 1800 for electricity. So I'm saving that much, which is exactly what my bank EMI is. Mm-hmm. So why should we have the barrier of 10 lakhs when this, we should compare it over 3, 5, 7, 8 years.
Just take a moment to reflect on that, people. 8,000 rupees versus 2.5 lakh rupees in fuel. Do you really need to focus on just the cost of acquisition?
So Onkar, this has been a paradigm shift for me. There is a number of hypotheses that we're talking about here. First is the adoption of electric vehicles and the need to look at, as you've just said, total cost of ownership versus the cost of acquisition, because it is evidently already proven so much cheaper to manage an electric car or drive an electric car versus an ICE engine. But then let's just look at the made in India hypotheses that we looked at, or this new discovery that we've had. As you said, whilst we were sleeping, there is a preference for made in India because there's been a quantum leap in the capability of the Indian automotive industry in providing you world-class travel experience, a world-class driving experience at a cost that is affordable and, in fact, much more preferable. Last year, or the last financial year just closed, 231,000 two-wheelers, electric two-wheelers were sold, and only 17,802 electric cars were sold. A very specific number, thanks to your research team for finding that out. But of the 17,802 electric cars that were sold, 15,198 were Tata, 2,045 were MG, and the rest was made up of a myriad of people that imported cars and sold them in India. I hazard what's going to change is this number is almost likely going to double or triple in the present financial year based on the automotive company's ability to deliver. But what's exciting is that Mahindra is going to announce on the 15th of August a slew of electric vehicles, which means that when we redo this podcast, probably 12 months from today, we're going to be looking at a number of 45,000 or more electric vehicles sold, and an overwhelming majority of those should, if I'm a betting man, be Tata and Mahindra.
Yes, Ravan, I totally agree. Isn't this the most exciting time in the Indian automotive history? If there are any betting people amongst our listeners, the bets are open.
I'm your host for this episode, Ravin Mirchandani. But I would not be here without the amazing Energizing India podcast team. Onkar, our podcast director and the man who makes it all happen in the end, much like a big fat grand Indian wedding, bringing together the research, data and attention to details, all in the timelines to get the next episode out on time. Srivikram, our podcast co-host and head of research, and Sunil, who along with me is executive producer of our program. The Energizing India podcast is an Ador Digitron production, giving a voice to the EV industry in India. If you enjoyed listening to us today, make sure to follow us on whatever platform you are listening on, whether it's Spotify, Apple iTunes, or our own portal, energizingindia.tv. Thank you very much, and see you on the next episode.